أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة، ويضل الله الظالمين، ويفعل الله ما يشاء. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا وإن سمع عرض الحاضر يقتل منه البدو الفاجر، ألا وإن الآخرة أجل الصادق يقضي فيها ملك عادل قادر، يحب الحق ويبطل الباطل، ألا وإن الخير كله بحذافيره في الجنة، ألا وإن الشر كله بحذافيره في النار، ألا فاعملوا أنتم من الله على حذر، واعلموا أنكم معروضون على أعمالكم، فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره، ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. وكما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: بالسجد العلماء الكرام إلى أبرز الإسلام. From the first day that Adam alayhi salam was sent into this world, it was also the first day that Shaitan came into this world. Adam alayhi salam came with haq, with the truth, and he came with the da'wah and the invitation of haq. Shaitan came with batil, and Shaitan came with the da'wah and the invitation of batil. And from that point onwards, throughout the ages, this confrontation has been taking place. On the one hand, between the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam and the followers of Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam, who gave the da'wah and invitation of haq, and on the other hand, between Shaitan amongst the insan and the jinnat, and the followers of Shaitan, who gave the da'wah and the invitation of batin. Constantly this confrontation has been taking place. Principally, one was the da'wah of Shaitan, as we heard in the Taraweeh tonight and many places in the Quran. Shaitan tells Allah Ta'ala, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. What is Shaitan's claim? What is his da'wah with Allah? That I will invite this insan. How will I invite him? What will be the foundation of the da'wah of Shaitan? لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. I will beautify for them the life of this world. I will make it appear as if this dunya is everything. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ. How much da'wah Shaitan will do, what efforts Shaitan will make. He said, Ya Allah, I will come from in front of them, I'll come from behind, I'll come from the right, and I'll come from the left, I will come from every direction. Whether it is the school, whether it is university, whether it's the media, whether it is the printed media, whether it is the electronic media, whether it is the wife, whether it is the children, from every direction Shaitan will come. And he will give this da'wah, this invitation, principally, لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, that this dunya is everything. Acquire the material wealth of this world. Get the position and status of this world and you will be successful. Ambiya alayhimu salatu was salam, what was their da'wah? What was their invitation? Throughout the ages, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Shaitan's da'wat, dunya is everything. Anbiya's da'wat, Allah is everything. Find Allah, bring Allah in his heart. Bring the conviction of Allah. Bring the ta'alluq with Allah. Bring the recognition of Allah. Find Allah and you have found everything. This confrontation of these two da'wahs and invitation has been occurring throughout the ages. Our idea or concept of confrontation is war, battle. But if you look in the annals of human history, very little war took place. The real confrontation was an ideological confrontation. A confrontation to the minds of humanity, to condition the minds of humanity. Shaitan's effort to instill the importance, the azmat, the greatness, the love, the attachment of dunya in the heart and mind of insan. And when we look at the Quran, when Allah Ta'ala speaks of the dunya, and we find the mode of expression of Quran is such that as if this dunya is nothing, mata'ul ghurur, darul ghurur, baytul ankabut, kasarabin biqi'a, yahsabuhu al-dham'anu ma'a, kul tamatta' bi kufrika qaleela, innaka min ashabin nar. قُلْ تَمَتَّعُوا فَإِنَّ مَصِيرَكُمْ إِلَى النَّارِ. اعلموا. Look at the mode of expression of Quran. اعلموا. Allah says, come to know, realize. What, O my Allah, what must I realize? أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَغْوٌ وَزِينَةٌ وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. What must I come to know, my Allah? أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو. That the big, big industry, the big, big commerce, the big marketplaces of Sri Lanka, and the fashion houses of New York and Hong Kong, and the big, big industries of the world, laibun walahu, these are just games. These are just amusements, passing phases. People competing with one another. Allah gives the parable of this dunya with what? A lush field. First the ground is dry, then the rain waters fall, the flowers spring forth, the beautiful vegetation spring forth. It looks very attractive. It looks appealing to the eye. Yet what happens? After a little while it dries up. After a little while it withers. When winter comes, the land is barren. And that which was lush, that which was attractive, eventually turns into dust. Allah Ta'ala says exactly like that this dunya is. What good is that health which is followed by sickness? What good is that youth which is followed by old age? What good is that life which is followed by death? What good is that wealth, the loss of which is constantly feared? كل بيت وإن طالت سلامتها يوما ستدركه النجباء والحوض. Like the poet puts it beautifully, he says, every palatial home of this world, today it is standing erect, it is standing proud. Mighty pillars, mighty fortress. Just a short period of time will pass, and what will happen? Eventually, it will become a dilapidated ruin. Eventually, it will become the home of insects and spiders. It is said in the annals of human history, the second greatest conqueror that ever existed was Mahmud Ghaznavi. The first greatest conqueror was Genghis Khan. Second greatest conqueror in the annals of human history, Mahmud Ghaznavi. After years of conquest, he had amassed a huge kingdom. So he decides to build a palatial home as a hallmark, as a testimony to what he has achieved. So no expense is spared. Beautiful palace. All the artifacts that he had gathered over years of conquest displayed. Opulence to his height. After erecting this beautiful palace, he invites his father, Subhuddin Rahmatullah Ali, a pious person, and come and see what I achieved. Years and years of effort, of conquest, of war, of battle, of hardship, of difficulty. Finally, the pinnacle of his glory. Look at this beautiful home that I erected. He takes his father room to room, shows him artifact upon artifact, shows him priceless objects. What was the expectation? The father will say, MashaAllah, Shabash, my son, you have done so well. How successful you are. But his father was a pious man. His father was unaffected. He didn't say a single word. His expression also didn't change. Mahmud Ghaznavi was a warrior. He was used to fighting on the battlefield, so his temperament was not a mild temperament. The anger and the rage started building up in him. That why does this man not react? Why is he not commenting? Why is he not praising me? MashaAllah, Shabash, my son, you have done so well. Eventually he couldn't contain his rage anymore. He couldn't contain his anger. He had to give expression to that anger. Obviously it was his father. He couldn't do anything to his father. So he picked up his axe and he brings it down. He strikes one of the objects, the priceless object that he had collected, such a mighty blow that that object breaks into 1,000 pieces. And then when he does this, his father smiles and he says, oh my son, you have spent your entire life making effort on that which cannot withstand the blow of one axe. Allah has not sent us to make effort on sand. Allah has not kept our success in the sand of this world. مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. From sand you were created, to sand we will return you, and from sand we will resurrect you again. No matter how many palaces you gather, how much of wealth you gather, in the end of the day, what it is sand. It will perish, it will come to an end. You have to leave it behind. One occasion, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went to the graveyard of Medina Munawwara and he addressed the residents of the grave. Assalamu alaikum ya ahl al-kubur min al-muslimin. Peace be upon you, O residents of these graves. Umar addresses them. Khabru ma indana. Listen to the message from our time. You are in the qabr, we are alive, listen to our message. Anna azwajakum qad tuzawwijat, your wives whom you love so much are married to other men today. The homes which you love so much, other people are living in it. The wealth which you had gathered, that has been distributed to other people. Like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Yaqul ibn Adam, Mali, Mali. Ibn Adam insan says, my money, my money, my money. What is his money? His money is what he wore. His money is what he ate. His money is what he used up. Everything else that's in the bank, that is not his money, that is the money of his heirs. He is just fooling himself. Nowadays what we say, for who are you doing it? For who are you finishing yourself by? What do you say, doing it for my children? I'm doing it for my children. I remember a few years ago, our jamaat was in Malawi, neighboring country, from South Africa. We met one brother, he said very nice thing, he said, every elderly person you meet, you ask him, why are you slaving after the dunya? He says, I'm doing it for my son. And every youngster you meet, what does he tell you? My father gave me. Not one youngster you find that says, my father gave me, you say, I made it myself. Father says, I'm doing it for the son says, I made it myself. So who is fooling who? One of our elders, he says, I was in a Kabristan attending a janaza. After the janaza, there was one youngster whose father had passed away. I told him, take me to the qabr of your father, read some Fatiha. So the youngster took me to one qabr. Before I could start making Fatiha, his uncle calls from behind and says, hey, bhai, that's not your father's qabr, your father's buried that side. That is the type of youngsters today. For that same youngster, how many commands of Allah this father must have broke? For that same youngster, how much of his akhirah this father must have destroyed? That youngster, who in his own lifetime doesn't even know where his father is buried. كَأَنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ خُلَّةٌ وَلَا حُسْنُ وَدٍ مَرَّةً فِي التَّبَادُلِ. Like Abdullah bin Qurs رضي الله تعالى عنه, he recites these couplets in front of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم about how frail these human relationships are. But the father says, my wife is everything, my children are everything, but when he goes in his cover, just a little time passes and it was as if no relationship existed between them. Mata'ul ghurur, baytul ankabut. Allah says, don't be deceived, this is temporary. The associations of this world are temporary. The attachments of this world are temporary. The effort of this world is temporary. Omar says to the residents of the grave, your wealth has been given to others. Your homes, others are living in it. Your wives are married to others. Then the voice from the grave responds, Wa alaykum as-salam ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Peace be upon you, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Khabru ma indana. Listen to the message from our side. Listen to the message from our side. Annama qaddamna wajadna. Wa annama anfaqna rabihna. Wa annama tarakna khasirna. That which we sent ahead, that which we put in the khazana of Allah, we have found it. It has been multiplied for us. And that which we left behind, that which we hoarded of this dunya, we were not prepared to part with it. Khasirna, we have lost it forever. I mentioned earlier today, I remember our jamaat in 1993. We went to one prison in Pakistan, Haripur, one province very near Islamabad. The warden, the head of the prison, 63-year-old man, very upright, just stooped. He said, when they made me the warden of this prison, I thought I will open up Islamic classes, make the people hufaz, make them ulama, teach them kitab. But he says, I got a shock when I discovered that 90% of the residents of the grave of this jail don't even know how to read Kalima. Muslim country. He says, we have to teach them Kalima. And then he said, I want to tell you all, I want to give you all one story. You may have heard the story before. But he says, I want to give you all one story. So he said, what story? He said, there was one king, and amongst his subjects there was a very foolish man. So one day this foolish man came to the king, he says, I want a job. So the king says, you are so foolish, what job I'm going to give you? You can't do any work, you're too foolish. This man was insisting. So finally the king relented, he said, take this axe and go look in my kingdom. If you can find anyone more foolish than you, give them this axe. And I will pay you, that's your job. 6 months pass, he can't find anybody more foolish than him. In the interim, the king becomes very sick. This person comes to visit the king. King is sad, full of grief, worried. What happened? Baksha Salamat, oh king, what has happened? He says, I have to go now. I have to leave now, I'm never coming back. And I've made no preparation. I haven't made any preparation for my journey and I have to go now. So this foolish man didn't understand what the king is talking about. He says, do you have to go? Why don't you stay here? You've got everything here. He says, I've got no choice. I have to go. So he asked the king, did you know? How long do you know about this journey that you have to take? That you are never coming back from? He says, I know about it for years. I know about it for a long time. So he says, oh king, you have this whole kingdom. You have everything here. Why didn't you send something ahead? Why didn't you make some preparation? You knew about this journey, everything is here, why didn't you send some ahead? Now you are sad, you are worried, you are going, you are ahead, you don't have anything. The king says, I don't know why I didn't make any preparation. So this foolish man, he takes the axe off his shoulder and he gives it to the king. He says, king, you are more foolish than me. But that is the haqiqah, the reality of this life. When the janaza is going, it is as if somebody else's janaza. Once somebody asked Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when janaza was going, then whose janaza is that? Abu Darda said, that is your janaza. That janaza is your janaza. And if you don't like what I'm saying, take it as my janaza. Why? Because Allah says, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتُوا وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. Every one of you has to die. Every one of us has come into this world to leave the world. No one has come to stay. This idea or concept of let me amass and gather the things of this world. Allah's Rasul said, the one who will make the effort of dunya at the expense of akhirat is the most foolish man. We think the most intelligent man is the one who has gathered the most dunya. Allah's Rasul said, that is the most foolish person. One occasion he asked Sahaba, who is the most intelligent man? Oh my Sahaba, who is the most intelligent man? Sahaba said, Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu know best. He said, أَشَدُّهُمْ ذِكْرًا لِلْمَوْتِ وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ إِسْتِعْدَادًا لَهُ. He said, the most intelligent, astute man of my ummah is the one who will remember his mort the most. And the one who will prepare for akhirat the most. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْأَكْيَاتِ رَغَبُوا بِشَرَفِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. These are the intelligent people. Allah will give them dunya and akhirat. We have to learn to give up that which is precious to us for Allah. Everything we love, send it ahead. What you don't like, keep it here. Because this, whatever stays here will stay behind. The verse of the Quran comes down, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Allah says, you will never get my love. You will never get true piety. You will never get true ta'alluq with Allah until you don't sacrifice that which you love for Allah's sake. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he says, when this verse of the Quran came down, I started thinking to myself, what do I love the most? He said, I had one slave girl, her name was Murjana, Roman princess. Murjana means pearl. She was absolutely beautiful. He said, I loved her intensely. When the verse of the Quran came down, I set her free. And I got her married to my best friend. One verse of the Quran. Give to Allah that which you love if you want to find Allah. A woman whom he loved, he freed her and married her to his best friend. And he used to say, if there was anything that I had given Allah, if there was anything that I had given Allah, if I had the chance to take it back, I would have taken this back. But what is given to Allah, I cannot take back. After she got married to that friend of Ibn Umar, she had children. Abdullah bin Umar would pick those children up and he would smell the fragrance of those children because it would remind him of his association with that woman. This was the mindset of Sahaba Ikram, that whatever was precious was given to Allah. Whatever was precious was given in the way of Allah. Because Allah promises, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَعْ. That which is by you will come to an end. That which you give to Allah will be forever. When Ansari Sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, my neighbor, he's dead tree. The branches hang over into my garden. And the dates from that tree are very sweet. So sometimes the dates fall, my children rush to pick it up and eat it. My neighbor gets angry because these dates are from his tree. And he pulls the dates out of the mouth of my children. Ya Rasulullah, what must I do? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent for his neighbor. He says, I have a proposition for you. What is the proposition? He says, give me the date tree. Give me the date tree and in return I will give you a tree in Jannah. He says, of all my trees, the dates of this tree are the sweetest. I am not prepared to part with this tree. This was not a Sahabi, it was a Munafiq. A Sahabi would never have responded like this. Saying that he goes away. Abu Dahdah radiallahu ta'ala anhu overhears this conversation. He goes behind that person. He says, tell me the date tree. Tell me the date tree. This person says, I didn't sell it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What makes you think I will sell it to you? Abu Dahdah says, name your price. Name your price. It was well known in Medina that Abu Dahdah radiallahu ta'ala anhu owned one orchard with 600 date trees. In those days the orchard would have a house in the center surrounded by date trees, property, land, and the whole family, it was a tradition, harvesting period, the whole family would move into that house in the orchard and harvest the dates. So what does this person say? Give me your orchard. Give me your orchard and I'll give you this one tree. He meant it as a joke. No, it doesn't make sense. One tree for an entire orchard, 600 trees, woodland, wood property, wood house. Abu Darda immediately says, be done. Don't really. Don't go against your word. He says, I'm not a fool. How am I going to go against my word? Watch me for the whole orchard. Be done. Abu Darda comes running to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, happy. Ya Rasulullah, does the same offer apply to me? This tree, for a tree in Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, why are you asking? He says, Ya Rasulullah, I have bought the tree. I have purchased the tree, I am prepared to give it to you. Give me a tree in Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Abu Darda, what did you pay? What did you pay for the tree? He says, I gave my orchard. Allah's Rasul Sahib realizing the yaqeen of the Sahabi. An entire orchard for the one tree. He says, Abu Darda, the same offer does not apply to you. The same deal does not stand for you. Kam min adaqin rabah wa darin fayah li Abi Darda. This expression is found in the riwayat. What is the mafum of it, Abu Darda? Allah is not going to give you one tree in Jannah, but for every of the 600 trees in your orchard, Allah is going to give you one orchard in Jannah. This was given to Allah. So he didn't want to hold back. He rushes to the orchard. His wife, Ummu Darda, and the children are in the house. He doesn't even enter the orchard. Why? I gave it to Allah, I don't want to spoil it. So standing outside, he shouts, Ummu Darda, bring the children, leave the orchard, leave the house, it's no longer ours, I have sold it. I have sold it. She shouts from inside, how much did you sell it for? How much did you sell it for? What did you get in return? He says, I sold it for my akhirat. I sold it for my akhirat. My respected brothers, if we turn the clock 14th century front, and the brother goes from the masjid home, and he tells his wife, that you know that big investment, that beachfront property we got, that nest egg, that huge investment portfolio that I have kept for tomorrow, I sold it. And the wife asked him, what you sold it for? He says, I sold it for my akhirat. What that woman will tell him, and the language that she will use, it is not in keeping with the member of the masjid for me to even try and reproduce the manner in which that woman will get upset with him. Our nest egg, what we kept for tomorrow, you gave it away for akhirat. What will you say? Why? Because such an environment of dunya exists in our homes. That everything is dunya. One was a period of time, Sahabi is leaving his home, he's not going jihad, he's going to the marketplace. And the wife shouts out from behind, إِيَّاكَ وَكَسْبِ الْحَرَامِ فَإِنَّا نَصْبِرُ عَلَى الْجُوعِ وَلَا نَصْبِرُ عَلَى نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ. Beware of bringing haram into my home. I can make sabr on hunger. I will never be able to make sabr over the azab of Jahannam. One was that period of time. And the other is this period of time. يأتي على الناس زمان لا يبالي المرء ما أخذ أمن الحلال أم من الحرام. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the time will come upon my ummah, they will not care where the wealth is coming from. Whether it is halal or haram, they will not be bothered. In fact, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prophesied. He said, يكون هلاك الرجل على يد أبويه وزوجته وأولاده يعيرونه بالفقر ويكلفونه ما لا يطيق فيدخل مداخل التي يذهب فيها دينه كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, such a time will come upon my ummah that such other pressures, the wife, the children, the parents, will put on the breadwinner. Every season, new outfits. Every season, change the furniture. The lounge suite must match the carpet must match the curtains. We have to keep up with the James and Jones of society. Like one person puts it nicely, buying things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. Culture of credit. Everything becomes halal, lying, cheating, deception. Why such is the demand that has been placed on that one solitary breadwinner? Allah's Rasul said, a time will come, the wife will put pressure, the children will put pressure, the parents will put pressure. يُعَيِّرُونَهُ بِالْفَقْرِ, they will taunt him with his poverty. And they will mock at him, look at the neighbors, look at that one, look at this one. What are you bringing? يُكَلِّفُونَهُ مَا لَا يُتِيرُ. Eventually he will be compelled to take on that which he cannot manage. He will go towards haram. Till eventually, such will be his involvement in haram, in lies, in deception. فَيَدْخُلُ مَدَاخِلَ الَّذِي يَذْهَبُ فِيهَا دِينُ. Allah protect us. Eventually he will lose his deen and his iman. That period, where every home of Medina was a markaz of iman, every home of Medina, the muzakara of iman was taking place. Sauda radiallahu anha, the wife of Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one day she walks in the house, her husband is sitting sad, scared, worried, full of grief. Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Abu Ubaidullah, oh my husband, why are you so sad? Have I done something wrong? Have I hurt you in any way? If so, please forgive me. Because if you are unhappy with me, then my Allah will be unhappy with me. If you are unhappy with me, my Allah will be unhappy with me. And if my Allah is unhappy with me, then my akhirat is destroyed. So, oh my husband, forgive me if I have hurt you in any way. If the home was like that today, our homes would be Jannah. But what are the seeds that we are planting? Dunya, dunya, dunya. Qala Allah, qala Rasul Nazim has come out of the home. When Abu Ubaidullah radiallahu anhu hears this, he says, no. I am not upset with you, you have not done anything wrong. So she says, then why are you upset? What is wrong? What is troubling you? I am directly translating the words of the hadith. We may find this far-fetched, hard to believe. Our thinking is such. What is his response? He says, Ijtama indi malun kathir. A lot of money has come to me. A lot of money has come to me, that is why I am worried. Again, if you turn the clock 14th century front, walk in the house, wife comes inside. Husband, what happened? Why are you worried? He says, a lot of money has come. He says, don't worry, I'll show you how to spend it. What are you worrying for? Are you gone mad? Money came and you worried. One is this thinking, the other was that thinking. A lot of money has come, this is why I'm worried. What does he respond? What does she respond? She says, oh my husband, don't you have some poor relatives? Don't you have some poor relatives? Today the husband has to spend on his poor relatives, the wife gets upset. You're only spending on your family. What about my family? Yeah, what does she respond? Don't you have some poor relatives? Oh my husband, give them the money and earn your akhirat. When he hears this response, he says, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, all praises you to Allah who has given me a wife who will assist me to earn my akhirat. And he takes the money and he spends it amongst his poor relatives. This riwayat is mentioned in Qurtubi. How much was the money? The raqam, the amount is mentioned, 400,000 dinars. 400,000 dinars was spent on his relatives. He was worried when that money came. Coming back to this incident, Abu Dahda radiallahu ta'ala says, Umm Dahda, leave the house, leave the orchard. I have sold it. What have you sold it for? He says, I sold it for akhirat. Tariq bears witness, history bears witness. Umm Dahda runs with the children. She's leaving the orchard. On her lips are the words, Rabih al-Bay', Rabih al-Bay', Rabih al-Bay', Shabash, my husband, Mubarak to you, my husband. What a bargain you have struck. What a bargain you have struck. That you gave away dunya for akhirat. You sacrificed your dunya for akhirat. This was the seed of iman, of yaqeen, of akhirat. That Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam planted in the hearts of Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. When they understood, they had the total complete conviction that this dunya is temporary, this dunya is a deception, akhirat is the goal. One Sahabi comes, Ya Rasulullah, kayfa li an unfiq min mali kullihi hatta ablugha darajat al-mujahid fi sabilillah. He says, O Nabi of Allah, how much money must I spend to get the reward of one who is striving in the path of Allah? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to him, wa ma maluk, how much money do you have? How much money do you have? He says, sittatu alaf, I have 6,000 dirhams. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, lo tasaddaqta biha, if you spend everything, if you spend everything you have, you will not get the reward of a person who is sleeping in the path of Allah. What Allah is giving him on that sleep also, you will not get by spending everything that you have. Sahaba understood this, that there is no amal superior to da'wah. There is no amal superior to striving in the way of Allah. That is why men, women and children of Medina Munawwara, this was the mindset. Khansa radiallahu anha, four sons, one day shaheed in the path of Allah. Woman brings her newborn baby to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, use my child in the path of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what will I do with your child? He says, Ya Rasulullah, when the arrows of the enemy come, use my child as a shield. That jazba, that zeal, Zakwan bin Qais radiallahu ta'ala anhu, newly married, first night, barely makes ghusl, the call comes to strive in the path of Allah. His newlywed wife grabs him, where are you going? He says, the call has come to strive in the path of Allah. If Allah's taqdeer is there, I will come back, otherwise I will meet you tomorrow in Jannah, saying that he moves in the path of Allah. This conviction of akhirat, when Sahaba moved with it, Allah turned the hearts of humanity towards Islam. Allah blew the wind of hidayat. This is the legacy which Nabi Abbas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba Ikram have left behind for this ummah. I respect it, brothers. This Mubarak month of Ramadan is weighing, already 8 nights have passed. We don't know if you will live to see another Ramadan. Let us prepare, send something ahead, send something for our akhirat. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. The true ta'alluq of Allah will only come if we will sacrifice in the way of Allah that which we love for Allah's sake. So who of us is ready, inshallah, make me and my respected brothers to give at least one ashara, 10 days in the path of Allah in Ramadan.